It is a big week for movie biographies. Opening today are fact-based films about a Supreme Court justice, two semi-famous authors, an infamous artist, and a man who refused to let polio defeat him. Critic Bob Mondello says that Hollywood often gets biopic fever, but five in one week is a lot.
You know every beat of a biopic before you go in. Humble beginnings, hint of greatness, triumph, setback, heartbreak, uplift. There is a formula to these things, whether applied to the man who wrote Winnie the Pooh.
Can you think of a good name for donkey?
Eeyore.
Or a Supreme Court justice in training.
This is Mr. Thurgood Marshall. This man is an attorney. You will treat him with the respect that he deserves.
An origin story is an origin story, and nobody becomes a somebody, and as with superheroes, not without a struggle. An enormous struggle in the case of the Englishman stricken with polio in the film Breathe. In real life, Robin Cavendish, paralyzed from the neck down, fought his doctors so they wouldn't warehouse him in a hospital. Then he made that same escape possible for others. Cue inspiring music.
When I first became paralyzed, I wanted to die. My wife told me I had to live.
A biopic like Breathe traces the whole arc of a life.
I don't want to just survive. I want to truly live.
The biopic Marshall, by contrast, captures just a slender slice of a life. Thurgood Marshall made history when he became the first African-American Supreme Court justice in 1967, but the film Marshall takes place decades earlier in 1940, and it covers just one case where the young Marshall, banned from speaking in court, had to play puppet master for an unnerved white attorney.
I need a partner who the jury can relate to.
Sam Friedman.
Good to meet you, Sam. Hey, give me a hand with these, would you?
What have you got in here, cement?
Guns. Books, Mr. Friedman.
The tight focus helps make Marshall more courtroom drama than biopic, but that approach wouldn't work with what you might call scribbling and sketching flicks, films about writers writing and artists making art. It's tough to make the artistic process feel urgent on screen, so in movies like Goodbye, Christopher Robin, filmmakers gravitate to stories that have something else going for them.
Are you writing a book? I thought we were just having fun.
In this case, that something else is post-traumatic stress disorder. Writer A.A. Milne's young son, Christopher, has learned to talk him down from panic when, say, they're walking in the woods and hear buzzing that reminds him of World War I fighter planes.
They'll be gone in a minute.
Bees are good, aren't they? They just want to make honey.
Yes, I completely forgot about bees.
It's a small leap from there to the amusing way bees and honey figure into Winnie the Pooh. It's a similar leap in Professor Marston and the Wonder Women if you know that the comic book's creator had a hand in creating the lie detector.
We've incorporated the lie detector test into the Wonder Woman comic. Her golden lasso, it forces criminals to tell the truth.
That is correct.
But audiences may balk at the notion that the comic books were also inspired by his fascination with bondage and his three-way relationship with his wife and their mistress.
She's an Amazon princess that lives on an island of all women. And all her friends and helpers are sorority girls who have spanking parties and everybody fights Nazis and rides in an invisible plane.
Yes.
Bill, we love you truly so much. But nobody, and I say this with all the compassion and truth in my heart, nobody will ever publish this.
Folks said the same thing to Tom of Finland, whose story is told in another of the week's biopics. Tom is an artist whose homoerotic, fetishy, often pornographic drawings of hypermasculine men became a worldwide phenomenon a few decades ago in the gay community.
Tom of Finland. I'm Doug of California.
Tom of Finland didn't do effeminate.
These men are moved by you, Tom.
Which arguably changed the gay community's self-image.
You make these different boys feel special, beautiful.
Tom of Finland makes the case for its protagonist exactly the way the other films do for theirs, the way countless films have before them. Is this a formula for cinematic art? Well, there have been Oscar-winning biopics, think Gandhi, and the biography is a time-honored form. Shakespeare wrote bio-dramas, after all, Richard III, Henry V, those few, those happy few. But few would argue that the Bard's history plays are the equals of Hamlet or Othello. Free writers up to rely on their imaginations, and you also free them up to do better than real life, at least in dramatic terms. I'm Bob Mondello.